Welcome to A World Powerfully Transformed, a new podcast from Unity on Cape Cod. We are creating community, celebrating love, and transforming lives. In this special series, we will bring you exciting, positive spiritual teachings, as well as thought-provoking interviews with guests from a diverse spectrum of the greater community. Now let us join Reverend Tony for this week's presentation.
Welcome to the Unity on Cape Cod podcast. I'm Reverend Tony Cryer, the spiritual leader here at Unity on Cape Cod. We are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, which has a vision of a world powerfully transformed by the growing movement of our shared spiritual awakening. Each week, I will be bringing you special guests, and we'll be talking about current issues and topics that are impacting our lives and how we can take a spiritual approach to transforming our world. So welcome, come on in. Welcome back, everyone, to A World Powerfully Transformed. Today's episode is entitled The Crossroads of Consciousness. We're going to be talking about the state of our human family and the fact that we are literally at a crossroads of consciousness between the lower order of thinking and higher consciousness, or awareness, as they would call it, your Christ mind. Really being able to surrender to your Christ mind and allow that to be your representative in the world, rather than allowing your ego to continuously pull you down the paths of conflict and separation. So I'd like to start today by reading a little from Eckhart Tolle, and then we're also going to read something from Charles Fillmore, his famous book, Christian Healing. And then I would go to Discover the Power Within You. And I'll end with our monthly message from the minister. This comes from the month of May, and it's called The Seeds of Love. So let's start out with a little from A New Earth from Eckhart Tolle, and it's right in the introduction. He's pointing out the purpose of this book, which was published quite a few years ago, but it's more true today than ever. He's asking the question, is humanity ready for a transformation of consciousness? Ask yourself that question. Are you ready individually for the transformation, complete and utter transformation of your consciousness? An inner flowering so radical and profound that it, compared to the flowering of plants and animals, no matter how beautiful, is only a pale reflection. Can human beings lose the density of their conditioned mind structures and become like crystals or precious stones, so to speak, transparent to the light of consciousness? Now that's a great question, isn't it? Can human beings lose the density of their conditioned mind structures? So can I lose the density of my structures of mind that I've become conditioned to and become clear like crystals or precious stones, to become transparent to the light of consciousness, God consciousness, or as we say in Unity, God mind? Can we defy the gravitational pull of materialism and materiality and rise above identification with form that keeps the ego in place and condemns us to the imprisonment within our own personality? Incredible question. What keeps the ego in place is condemning us to this imprisonment within a personality. And of course, when we're in a personality, we want to form groups with the same personality. And those groups inevitably conflict with other personalities. And so you have the world that you see today split into what seems to be two very distinct personalities. One that sees things as separate from themselves, and one that is attempting, at least, to become aware of our oneness. And that's the transformation that I feel is most important, to become aware of our oneness and our holiness. So Eckhart Tolle would say, the possibility of such a transformation has been the central message of all the great wisdom teachings of humankind, all the messengers, Buddha, Jesus, and others, not all of them known, were humanity's early flowers. They were precursors, rare and precious things, precious beings. A widespread flowering of consciousness was not yet possible at that time, and their message became largely misunderstood and often greatly distorted. It certainly did not transform human behaviors except in a small minority of people. And here's the question: is humanity more ready now than at the time of those early teachers? And why should this be so? What can you do, if anything, to bring about or accelerate this inner shift? What is it that characterizes the old egoic state of consciousness? And by what signs is the new emerging consciousness recognized? And so these are all the questions that he asks in this book. And he also says that the purpose of this book is not to bring any information to you, any new information, or try to convince you of anything, but to bring about an actual shift in consciousness. And I think that's really an important aspect of what we do here at Unity. And what I'm committed to do as a spiritual teacher is to provide a space for awakening, a space where that inner shift in consciousness can occur in you. And it's a much different experience than putting forth information or doctrine or religious principles or practices and saying, this is the truth. Or opening a Bible and saying, this is the truth. This interpretation of these words is the truth. It's more important for me to understand that we are in a constant unfoldment of our consciousness. We are at a crossroads of conscious evolution, a crossroads of consciousness, of awakening from this density of thought to an experience, an expanded experience of who and what we are. And I believe that that can be characterized as the healing of our minds, as our personal and individual healing. I'd like to read now from this classic Unity book, Christian Healing, by Charles Fillmore. In Lesson 2, he says, in his right relation, man is the inlet and the outlet of an everywhere present life, a substance, an intelligence. So this ever-present life, substance, and intelligence is really how we've described God. It's everywhere present, it's a substance, and it's an intelligence. It's constantly thinking, it's constantly moving, it's constantly expanding, adapting. It's fluid. It's not stiff. It's not rigid. It's not solid in that sense. It's It's fluid. It's moving. It's energy. And so this present, everywhere present life and substance and intelligence is the thing that is moving through us. So in our right relationship to it, we are open. We are the inlet and the outlet for God. Okay, I'm going to begin again with Charles. When his I, capital I within, recognizes this fact and adjusts itself to the invisible expressions of the one mind, man's mind becomes harmonious. And that's what we're looking for, right? Man's mind becomes harmonious, his life vigorous and perpetual, his body healthy. It is imperative that the individual understand this relation in order to grow naturally. It must not only be understood as an abstract proposition, but it is necessary that he blend his life consciously with God life, his intelligence with God intelligence, his body with the Lord's body. Conscious identification must prevail in the whole man before he can be in right relation. And this was Charles Fillmore's whole message of becoming your true self, of coming into a new consciousness, into your own God consciousness. This is why unity is actually very revolutionary in its thinking, because it's characterizing Christ as a principle, not as a person. But as the person takes on the principle, guess what? You become the Christ. So Jesus actually was showing us who we are in truth. And folks like the Fillmores, these wonderful teachers, were showing us how to come into this open awakening, this shift of consciousness that Eckhart Tolle is describing. He says that there's more people now available in their minds to this shift than ever before. That's why it wasn't happening on a grand scale. But now I think we are at the crossroads of the shift in our consciousness. And what does it take? It takes our decision to get in right relation with the whole, with the everywhere present life substance and intelligence, to consciously blend our life with God life, to consciously and intelligently blend our intelligence with God intelligence and with our body, with the Lord's body, the one body of Christ. Conscious identification must prevail, says Charles Fillmore. That's an amazing conscious identification with the whole. What an incredible idea. And so he goes on to say that this involves not only a recognition of the universal intelligence of life and substance, but also their various combinations in man's consciousness. I really love that. So there is a recognition of a universal intelligence, a universal life, a universal substance. But we must also acknowledge the combinations of the intelligence, the life, the substance within us, within our own individual consciousness. He says these combinations are, in the individual world, dependent for perfect expression upon man's recognition or his loyalty to his origin being God mind. Man is in God mind as a perfect idea. God mind is constantly trying to express in every man its perfect idea. the real and only man. Now, that's an amazing statement, that the perfect man is the only real man, that all the rest of it is a mistaken idea of personality that we are expressing in the density of our mind constructs, as Eckhart Tolle might call it. The perfect man idea is God mind. Oh, sorry. The perfect man idea in God mind is known under various names in the many religious systems. The Krishna of the Hindu is the same as the Messiah of the Hebrews. All the great religions of the world are founded upon a spiritual science, but not all of that science is understood by their followers. The Hebrews had been told again and again by the spiritually wise that a Messiah or Christ man would be born in their midst, but when they came, they did not recognize them. Why? Because of their lack of understanding. They understood only the letter of their religion. He goes on to say, a similar lack of understanding prevails generally today. I love it. He's saying the Christ man or perfect idea of God mind is now being expressed and demonstrated by men and women as never before in the history of the race. As never before, it is being expressed through men and women, this Christ idea, this idea that God is in us. And yet, we tend to feel more comfortable clinging to an older letter of the law, letter of our religious ideas. Why? Because we can put the responsibility on someone else. That's my feeling, is that we are not willing to be the powerful and perfect beings that we were created to be, because it seems more comfortable to stay in the density of our mind constructs that we currently have. But again, listen to me, my friends, we are at the crossroads of consciousness. It's very important to note here that we are at a place where we need to accept spiritual truth if we are going to heal our divide, if we are going to survive as a species, if we are going to stop attacking our own environment and our own planet, which gives life to our bodies and to our societies and to our families and to everything that we know. We are literally attacking ourselves when we are insisting that our version of reality is true. We are attacking ourselves when we are insisting that our limited concepts are truth, when in fact, they are merely reflections. And I really feel that the only thing that will possibly set us free is the actual truth. So you know what? I think I'll sing that song right now. It's called "The Truth Will Set You Free." When darkness comes upon you and it's hard to see the light, when illusion seems to bind you to a world you cannot fight, when your heart is hurt and frightened and your soul is feeling lost, when your faith in love is shattered and it seems at such great loss, remember I am the truth and the life, and the truth will set you free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So let your mind be quiet and turn your thoughts to me. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom, the secret to perfect peace. I am the God within you. I am the angel of your good. I am Spirit everlasting. I am the living Word. Remember, I am the truth and the life, and the truth will set you free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Yes, let that mind be quiet and turn your thoughts to me. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom, the secret to perfect peace. I am the God within you. I am the angel of your good. I am Spirit everlasting. I am the living Word. Remember, I am the truth and the life, and the truth will set you free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And the truth is setting us free. I find more and more people being able to express the truth freely than ever before. One of our great truth teachers was Eric Butterworth, and he wrote, of course, the classic book, Discover the Power Within You. And in it, there is a really nice way of looking at the teaching of resist not evil, the law of non-resistance. And he writes, he quotes from the Bible, "You have heard that it was said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of the Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love only those that love you, what reward do you have?" And he goes on to say, "You therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, as your Creator is perfect, as the one God mind is perfect." And this is all that Charles Fillmore was ever teaching, is that you can come into your perfection because that's the truth of you. Socrates once said, I'm reading again from Eric Butterworth, Socrates once said that the unexamined life is not worth living. Jesus is constantly challenging us to take a good look at ourselves in the context of the divine potential within. We must recognize the basic problem in life is the frustration of our own potentiality. When we are faced with inharmony in relationships, It is not so much a problem between ourselves and another who seems to be fighting us, as it is a break in our own circuit of good from the Father within. So it's like we're unplugging ourselves from the source. Life is consciousness, says Eric Butterworth. The problem we face, all the problems we face, indicate that our wires are down. So life is consciousness. And if we look at consciousness in us as God is, or the universe is the source, is the power station, then we have to stay plugged in. So when we're facing inharmony, or if we're facing any kind of problem, it's because our wires are down. He goes on to say, we need to repair the break within ourselves. The only existence an error condition has, as far as we are concerned, is that which we give it in our own thinking. Withdraw the thought about it, and it fades into nothingness. What matters to us in reality is not people or things or conditions in themselves, but the thoughts and feelings that we harbor concerning them. It is not the conduct of others, but our reaction to it that makes or mars our life experience. He goes on to say that Jesus challenges us to get a good understanding of this thing called love. He says you do not really love simply because you love those who love you. What does that prove? It is easy to be nice and friendly to those who are nice to you. It is no problem to love thy neighbor as long as we have something to say about who that neighbor might be. And I think that's really important. I'll love my neighbor long as I get to pick my neighbors. That's what he's saying here. And he goes on to say, and this is incredible, love is not an emotion that begins in us and ends in the positive response of another. Love is a divine energy that begins in God and has no end. And that's really the level that we are attempting to live our lives at, on the level of our divinity. On the level of our divinity, says Eric, man has tremendous and limitless powers as his inheritance. However, they are his to use only when he acts the part of his divinity. So Jesus is saying, love your enemy, not because he is especially deserving of your love, but because when he causes you resistance, you're not acting the part of your divinity. And the power that goes with your divinity is only yours when you act the part. I love that. I often say, you are the light of the world. Start acting like it. And that really, I believe, is our great challenge in life, or our great opportunity. I like to think of it as an opportunity, that we are here particularly to discover the power within us and the Christ within us. And as we do so, as we act the part of the light of the world, we give others permission to do the same, to drop their judgments and to drop the density of their old constructs of mind. And simply put, to love their brothers and sisters as themselves, not attempting to choose who those brothers and sisters may be, but by accepting all of us as one in the human family. So I will end our session today with the message from the minister from the month of May 2021, called The Seeds of Love. As we celebrate the changing seasons and the coming of a new spring, we can start to shake off the past with greater joy and gratitude. Gratitude for the end of winter, yet even more grateful for the light at the end of the tunnel concerning our travail with this pandemic and the enduring growing pains of humanity as we shed our differences and judgments of one another. While venturing outdoors this season, I am impressed by the emerging flowers and leaves on the trees, the warmth of the sun in the afternoon, and the brilliance of the sparkle of the sunlight on the ocean. I'm constantly amazed at the various bird songs and the variety of species in our little corner of the world. It reminds me as well of the people around me who are emerging in their spiritual growth, the warmth of their smiles as our masks are both literally and figuratively removed, and of the brilliance of the light that shines from the beautiful people in my little corner of the world. It also reminds me of the great variety of expressions of the divine which surround us each moment, if we care to take notice. It warms my heart to notice the seeds of love that were planted during this long season of separation begin to sprout into strong and healthy expressions of God. We frequently hear about sowing the seeds of love. This spring, let us harvest the fruits of those seeds and reap a bountiful harvest of love in our individual lives, in our families, and in our communities, and also in our world. When it seems all too popular to blame others for our circumstances, let us take responsibility for our own happiness. In these times when projection of our fears seems to be at an all-time high, let us transform that fear into faith. When it has become more comfortable to judge those with whom we do not agree, let us be the ones to listen and include all those around us. When the divide between people appears to grow wider and wider, let us be the ones who stand in the gap and bring people together as one. No longer can we hide our light in the comfortable corners of our individual worlds, but the changing seasons demand we grow and flourish in the open sun. The call of spirit is drawing us out of our safe places and our comfortable womb, and is now ready to give birth to a new order of being, one based on truth, understanding, compassion, and love. We are being born into a new world, powerfully transformed and molded by our necessity to evolve spiritually and awaken from our dream of separation. Indeed, if you are feeling this incredible shift in consciousness along with me, you are well aware that no seed planted in love will ever fail to grow. No act of kindness will fail to bring healing. And no child of God can ever forget who they really are. Every sign of growth is bringing great joy to us now as we emerge from our sleep and give thanks for the ever-increasing flow of divine substance within us and all around us. So this spring, my friends, let us remember that we are blessed beyond measure and that we are here to be a blessing in this world. Happy spring, everyone. Get out there and be the light of the world.
Thank you, each and every one, for tuning in to this special edition of A World Powerfully Transformed, a Unity on Cape Cod podcast. If you would like to support this program or find out more about Unity on Cape Cod and our Sunday services, please visit our website, unityoncapecod.org, or stop by our spiritual center at 147 Walton Ave in Hyannis, Mass. We would love to get to know you. Be blessed and remember to be a blessing. This podcast was made possible in part through a grant from Unity Worldwide Ministries and the Templeton Foundation.